Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday visit with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Doc. Before we move on to other subjects, can you tell me when to start freaking out about monkeypox?
Bob, do not freak out about monkeypox. You know, it's kind of interesting when we hear that it does get the media's attention. It certainly has gotten the attention of kind of researchers around the world, but more for the uniqueness of this one. If everybody remembers back in 2003, we had about 50 cases of monkeypox here in the Midwest, and we traced that back to exposure to prairie dogs. Well, the difference about this one is that we really don't have a transmission of what animal, because it's happened in about 5 countries, including the United States, but there isn't been a common vector animal, and it appears now that it's been a little human-to-human transmission, which is more difficult than one would think. It's not the typical virus that we're considering that's going to spread rapidly. So great for an interesting story, but as far as a public health concern, extremely low down on our list.
Glad to hear it. We have some news this morning about the coronavirus and the FDA expanding eligibility for that booster in children 5 through 11. So they amended the emergency use authorization. Is that what this is?
Correct. If we all remember back in January, the FDA expanded the EUA for those ages 12 to 15, but didn't have the data on 5 to 11 yet, just as we're still waiting for the data from 6 months to 5. But they got all that data in. They looked at it over the last 3 weeks, and now they've expanded that booster. So now 5 to 11 can go ahead and get the booster 5 months after their second shot. Now, you know, is that going to be earth-shattering news? Not really, because we still have very low vaccination rate in kids. And certainly should be something that parents should at least do your homework on, look at it, because we are starting to see kids having a little bit higher rates of hospitalization now, as well as we're starting to see more concerns about long COVID in children and adolescents.
So Omicron has seen more kids getting sick and being hospitalized?
Yeah, so if we took just no hospitalizations whatsoever for coronavirus or Omicron, Delta, you know, BA2, whichever ones, now we're starting to see an increase in pediatric cases and an increase in pediatric hospitalizations. And it's a little muddied because we really haven't hit the impact of those kids who are immunocompromised, kids with chemotherapy, kids who are diabetic. You know, that same population we were concerned about in adults, we're now ultimately concerned about in children as well.
What is the situation around here with hospitalizations for not just children, but adults? What's the latest on the virus here?
Yeah, it's really interesting, the latest here. If you go back, probably 3-4 weeks ago, we were still in low transmission for all of the collar counties, as well as in Cook County and the city of Chicago. Then we went up to mild. Well, now we're at high again. So certainly our transmission and the number of cases is elevated again. Hospitalizations, however, really have not been impacted. I can tell you at Central DuPage, we've been hanging in the mid-teens to low 20s for a long time now. So certainly not the numbers that we had seen in the past where we were 140. So certainly much lower cases of hospitalizations, but much higher number of cases actually in the community. So you're probably hearing more of your friends saying, oh, yeah, I had COVID, felt terrible, but now I've recovered.
Mm-hmm. How much of that do you think is due to the fact that we're getting a little bit lax in wearing masks and keeping our distance and so forth?
100%. You know, you think about this, Bob, at the beginning, nobody was shaking hands with anybody. No one was giving hugs to anybody. Everyone was washing their hands as often as they possibly could. I think all our mitigation strategies that worked so well, we have fallen off of those and aren't using them. So it used to be you couldn't buy hand gel, right? Mm-hmm. You're using so much of it. And now look, you can see hand gel every store, but not on common workplaces or not in common areas that you're entering, and you don't rush to that. So, you know, part of the spread is our own fault, but certainly something that we need to go back to as Dave Ennett would say, you know, go back to basic blocking and tackling. You know, go back to the basics.
X's and O's.
That's right.
That's good advice. Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most. And now, Doctor, let's talk about skin cancer because it's supposed to be warm and sunny this holiday weekend. What is the most common mistake people make when it comes to applying sunscreen?
Probably it is that they put it on right before they go out. Right. As a matter of fact, you go to a golf course, you go to an event, you'll see people applying sunscreen. You know, they're already outside. They're already doing it. They're already exposing their skin. So really, probably the one of the most important things is make sure you put that on 15, 30 minutes prior to. I always tell people the best thing to do is after you get out of the shower in the morning, go ahead and put that sunscreen on. Mm-hmm. And probably the second biggest one is we don't put enough on. You know, they just barely put it on and say, okay, I covered it. When really you need to put enough on and make sure that you're protected all the areas, the tops of your ears, the back of your neck, places you don't think about. Everyone throws it on their arms and maybe a little on their face, but we still have areas that are getting exposed.
Are you seeing more cases of skin cancer these days?
Yeah, unfortunately we are. You know, it is the most common cause of cancer. You could take all other cancers, add up those numbers, and you still don't come anywhere near the number of skin cancer cases. So certainly one that not only causes major problems, but can cause death in some of the more serious types of it.
As far as the SPF factor, once you get to a certain number, it really doesn't make any difference, does it?
Yeah, you know, it all comes down to math, right? So just the simplicity of SPF is if you did not put anything on your skin and went outside, how long would it take you to get to starting to have a minor burn? In other words, how long would it take your skin to get red? Then you take that number, let's say it's 10 minutes, and then take it and multiply it by the SPF. So SPF of 10 times, if you went out for 10 minutes and then put on an SPF of 30, you get 300 minutes. So really, after you get above 50, it really doesn't gain you much conditioning strength. But certainly, one of the more important things is the reapplication. You know, we always tell people, replace it after 2 hours. It wears off, you wear it off, and it sweats off. Mm-hmm. So I tell, you know, not that I play a lot of golf, but I tell people on the golf course all the time, make sure you put your screen on half hour before you play. And then when you make the turn on the 10th hole, reapply that because that's the only way you're going to keep that protection up.
Is it easy for people to spot the difference between a mole and possible skin cancer?
Yeah. You know, it's one thing, it's really important, obviously, that everybody gets in to see their family doctor. But really, as you age, certainly seeing a dermatologist is extremely important. But knowing just some of the basics, it's almost like when we talk about the stroke. What are the signs of stroke? Same thing can be done here, and it's extremely simple. A, B, C, D, E. Very simple. Asymmetric. So not one half doesn't match the other. If you cut the mole in half with a piece of paper and looked on each side, do they look the same? So are they round? Are they oval? Are they very uniform? B is for the border, where it's not a smooth border, very uneven. C is the color. Is it multiple colors or is it one solid color? Is there browns in there as well as blacks and tans? D is diameter. If you see any mole that is bigger than a pencil eraser, you certainly want to get that in. And E is evolution. We do not like moles that change. So if you look at it and say, gosh, you know, that's getting bigger, that's getting more, anything that's changing, we don't like that. So that's the simple A, B, C, D, and E of skin cancer and what to look for.
Do you recommend an annual visit to the dermatologist?
I do. You know, and people say, well, gosh, are you kidding? It's impossible to get into a dermatologist, you know. And it's really not. You just have to make sure that you plan it. Certainly, if you have a rash today that's an emergency, that's who the dermatologists are getting in. But certainly, if you call now and say, well, I need to get in the dermatologist, they may say, well, it's 2.5 months. That's fine. Just get that appointment and get in for a complete body exam. You know, they will look everywhere on your body to identify these. And they have equipment that can identify them quicker. They can do biopsies because the most important thing that even with the bad skin cancers, the melanomas, if you catch it early enough, you have a very high survival rate. Whereas many people, by the time they catch a melanoma, it's already metastasized. It has already gone to other places in your body, and it's very difficult to treat.
80 degrees forecast for Saturday and Sunday. I guess you'll be golfing.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that, Bob. That's probably a good bet.
Chance of rain 10%, chance of golfing 100%. Enjoy your holiday weekend, Dr. Most.
You got it, Bob. Take care.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.